Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining tonight. We're here talking live from Mishari Tefillah. Tonight is the Shloshim of my father, Rabbi Yechiel Michel ben Moshe Aaron, Zichrono Livracha, Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo. So this shir is Le'ili Nishmaso. One thing about my father is that he was exceedingly friendly. He was friendly to everybody. He was mamish mekabel kol other b'sever panim yafos. And that was something that was echoed, everybody from, whether it was a Rosh Yeshiva from Eretz Yisrael visiting to raise money for their yeshiva, or if it was a nurse in a hospital, or a visiting nurse, all of them, you know, across the range commented on how my father would greet them with very great, with grace, with a smile, even when he was very weak and not so able to communicate, but he would share a smile and he would greet people with great warmth, and that's a trait that I strive to emulate. Mekabel kol other b'sever panim yafos, and I certainly remember, have very vivid memories of in the Yonge'ezov Avenue J, and a stranger would walk in, and my father would jump to greet them and to schmooze with them in whatever language they spoke, whether it was Hebrew, Yiddish, and engage them in conversations about Yerushalayim, which my father loved very much, connecting to Yerushalmi Yidden and Yerushalayim in general. So it happens to be, and this might be a little bit of a stretch as far as connecting it to a Yortzeit shir, it happens to be that my father's love for everybody around him was not just for humans. Whenever he would pass a person with a pet, he'd always bend down and pet the dog and talk to the owner as well. And my father, when he was a young man, told the children that he used to have a parrot that used to sit on his shoulder and drink his coffee with him. So when he would drink coffee, the parrot would drink coffee. I don't know if nowadays we would do that in terms of germs, but my father appreciated animals, even though I don't know if he ever had anything more than a parrot. So I wanted to talk about tonight about caring for others, not caring for other human beings, but we'll talk about that in an indirect way, but caring for animals in the sense of Tzar Bali Chaim. But we're not really going to talk so much about Tzar Bali Chaim per se, although it's going to come up. What I'd like to talk about this evening is interacting with animals, but not lifting them on Shabbos. Lifting them, we spoke about last week, and we pointed out last week that the consensus, the majority, I won't say all, the majority of the Rishonim, as well as the majority of the Poskim, do assume that pets would be mukta, so which would mean that it would be theoretically problematic to lift up, to carry, to move from here to there, an animal, a pet. Certainly, if it's not a pet, then even more so, because if it's not a pet, then it's definitely mukta. And if it's a pet, then we saw some Rishonim said, if it's a pet, that is its use to play with, and other Rishonim seem not to accept that the fact that something is a pet could make it have a use. It's not a rock you could designate. You could be miyachid a rock, you could be miyachid a stick to have a purpose. You can't be miyachid, designate a living organism to have a purpose that you decided. Just because you decided that this should be your plaything, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a life. You know, I don't mean it in a, you know, people have lives, animals also have lives. An animal could be a spouse, a child, a mother, a sibling of whoever else is the dogs or cats' family, and they have desires and ritzonos and feelings and whatever else they might have. Just because you're miyachid to be your pet, who says you have a right to be miyachid your pet? That's how we answered a lot of the Achronim's question. How come yichud, how come designating could work for a kli shamo, something that's not a kli, like a rock, but it wouldn't work for an animal? So that was what we spoke about last week as far as lifting up animals. So again, the consensus among the majority of the poskim is that it's aser. But again, if you see somebody handling or carrying an animal, you don't have to say anything, because there are some opinions on whom to rely who do permit it in the Rishonim. We're not going to talk about walking an animal, because there you don't actually carry it. It walks. You're just putting it on a leash. You're allowed to put it on a leash and let it walk. And what to do when there's no Erev, that's another Shaila. If there's no Erev, how to walk and carry a leash, that's a different discussion, which we're not going to go into. Our immediate neighborhood has a Shaila, has an Erev, so we won't speak about that. What I want to talk about tonight is a very specific Shaila, and that is petting the animal. So you're going to ask me, wait a second, you told me that animals are fundamentally, again, the way we'll speak about this evening, like the majority of the post-gimmit, that they're muktzah. So if they're muktzah, you can't pet it, right? Well, this is where tonight's shir begins. Let me share the screen with you, and if you're here, you could take a sheet from the back. Okay, let me just adjust my screens, and then we'll be able to... begin the shiur in a moment. Okay, so the first thing that we have to know is the biggest mistake that every child is mistaken with. Of course, you, Talmidei Chachamim, are all familiar and don't make this mistake, but children always assume you can't touch muktzah. And that's absolutely incorrect. You can touch muktzah. You can't move muktzah. That's why it's called iser tiltil. It's iser to handle muktzah. There's nothing wrong with touching muktzah. And that's the first thing that we have to get straight, because if you just touch an animal, it's no different than touching a car, no different than touching anything else that's muktzah. Touching is nothing wrong with touching. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says here in Source 1. Kol muktzah eino osur ela, says the Rama, betiltulo. Aval benegiyo ba'alma, she'eno menad nado shari. If you just touch without shaking it, without making it rock, that's mutter. Lachain, therefore, you could touch a menorah, even a menorah that's lit, which is obviously very muktzah. That's fine. You could touch an oven. You could touch all kinds of things that are muktzah. This is not relating to us, but it's just a good yidia. The last line of source number one, it says, so too you're allowed to blow. If there is something muktzah, you're allowed to blow it out of the way. If it's light enough, that could be blown away. V'chein mutzah taltel davar muktzah idei nefuach. Breath, you're blowing. That's not called regular handling. That's not called tiltil. That's not moving muktzah. And therefore, you could blow. I had this when we were just 2-3 weeks ago when we went away for Shabbos for the yeshiva, the yeshiva week Shabbos. So I was somewhere and Shabbos started, and there was a pencil on a table in the middle of shul. I didn't need that spot on the table to put my sitter down. It wasn't a tzorech makomo. It just doesn't look nice on Shabbos to have a pencil on the shul. So I just blew it off the table. It was on the floor, so nobody notices it if it's on the floor. On the table, it would look not nice, and that's mutter l'chatchila. Okay, putting that aside, we're not talking about blowing tonight. We're talking about touching. So it's clear that you can touch muktzah, you can touch an animal. Nothing wrong with touching animals. The problem that we have to talk about, though, is that when you pet an animal, it depends on the grooming of your animal. If you shave it, if you gave it a zero haircut, and it's just the body, and no, there's no hair, there's no fluff, there's no fur. So you touch the body, you don't move it, that should be fine. You want to pet it, and there's nothing that moves, that should be fine. If you just, if you have a jacket, you just pet the coat, the jacket of the animal, or if a person, or something else that's muktzah, that's totally fine. What we have to talk about tonight is when you have an animal that has fur, that has not just skin, but has hair on it, and as you pet it, you're depressing, you're shifting, you're moving the hair on the animal. And that's going to be the topic of tonight's shiur. Petting an animal where there is some movement, but it's minimal movement. What's the difference how much you move something? Let's see right now.
Even though it's part of...
That's what we're going to talk about right now. Let's talk about that right now. Yeah. So there's a very important Mishnah that will answer Srili's question. Mishnah Shabbos, Kufnun Aleph Amud, Aleph, source number 2. And here, the Mishnah instructs us what to do if there's, God forbid, a corpse on Shabbos. How do you deal with a corpse on Shabbos? So the Mishnah says the following. Osin kol tzorkei hames. Sachin, you're allowed to wash it off. Umadichno, so you're allowed to put some stuff on it. Uvilvad shelo yaziz bo aver. But you're not allowed to move any of the limbs of the mace. So we know the minhag is that when a person is nifter, they straighten the body, they close the eyes. Says the Mishnah, not on Shabbos. Now, as Rashi says, look down at Rashi in source number 2. Shelo yaziz bo eber, lo yagbia, lo yado, o raglo, you can't adjust the feet, the legs, o rise einav, or the eyelids. Now, one would want to do that before rigor mortis sets in, so it would be wise to do it immediately, but on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move any of the Eivarim. Now, that point that you can't move a limb of a mace, we don't deal with limbs of mesim too often on Shabbos. But this teaches us a very fundamental halacha in Hilchos Muktzah. And the Ran is the one who makes this point, and I'll say it outside first. When you have a body lying there, and a person strains out a leg or strains out an arm, did you lift the body from place X and put it into place Y? No, the body stayed where it is, wherever it's situated. The longitude and latitude of the body, the coordinates, stay the same. You just adjusted a part of it while leaving the rest of it in place. Yet the Mishnah says, it's Aser. This is called, which is the topic of tonight's shir, tiltul b'miktsas. When you do a little bit of tiltul, meaning tiltul b'miktsas is defined where the item itself, it did not go from location to location. It stays in its location, but part of it moves around in the same location. For example, when you pet an animal and its hair is, you're not changing the animal's coordinates, it's not going from place to place, it's staying in one place. But you're shifting the hair as you press, as you pet it, you know, from left to right, so you're shifting the hair rightwards. So that seems to be, for this Mishnah in Shabbos, a problem of tiltul muktza. Tiltul muktza is also not only to move the item in its entirety, but even b'miktzas. Let's see the Ran, then I'll take your question. Says the Ran, source number three, he learns the Ran on the riff, learns from this Mishnah. Shalo yaziz bo ever, says the Ran, umei hasham inan, from here we learn, dafitul tiltul miktzas shmei tiltul. You might think, shlo tama ad shiagbia yado ad shiagari, you have to move the whole body. No. Elakeun demezes rosha shaldavar shenu nital, that also is aser. If you have something that's muktza, and you move a part of it, even though the whole item stays where it is, that's going to be tiltul b'muktza, and that's going to be problematic.
What is different than our own hair?
We are not muktza. Animals are muktza. So I could lift up a child, I could lift up a person, I could lift up myself. We're, human beings are not muktzah. There was never a gzeira of Shlomo HaMelech. When he made the gzeiras of muktzah, he never put them on human beings.
Why is this only an issue of fur or hair? I don't understand. If you touch a live animal, it has no hair, so certainly it will move. So you say, oh, it's moving because it's own volition.
Correct.
But still, it's you're
it, you're not being metal to it. You're providing a stimulus, and it's moving. So that's not considered tiltul muktza. That's not going to be tiltul muktza. If I take a pin, and I touch it to an animal, and it jumps, I didn't lift it up and throw it up into the air. It chose, because of its reaction to the stimulus, to jump in the air. I didn't move anything. I didn't...
Right, so I wouldn't attribute the jump to that. But the mere fact that every animal has nerve endings, just by touching it, it'll lift its paw or it'll do something. So you touched it, so now it's lifting its paw.
So that would be some kind of a grumma, but that's not you doing the tiltil. The isser of tiltil is for you to move the thing.
So the animal is allowed to walk.
No, you move the fur. Even though you left the rest of the animal intact, you move the... Correct, the animal could be sleeping, but you move the fur. The same way a corpse is dead and a person would move their arm, their leg, their eyelids, that would still be muktza because it's moving. That's called tiltul b'muktzas. Now, the Ran asks a side question that if any of you are experts in Maseches Shabbos, you'll know that there was a certain kind of saddle, I don't know if some kind of saddle, some kind of accessory that a horse or a mule would wear. And it says that you're allowed to stick this thing on the head of the animal. Sounds like you're moving the head remove this. If it has some kind of saddle on its body, hold on one second. What?
A bridle.
A bridle. It calls it a schliff. A schliff is a bridle? Schliff could be. I just don't know what a schliff shel tefuah is. Made out for wheat? I'm not sure. It could be. Could be. Maybe to harvest. It could be something, some kind of bit in the mouth or a bridle that goes on the mouth that's uncomfortable for the animal. You're allowed to remove it. So when you're doing that, you're moving the head, aren't you? And the Mishnah says it's, and the Brisa says it's mutter to move the head of the animal to remove this bit, to take it out of the animal's mouth and remove it for the comfort of the animal. I thought we said tiltul b'miktzas. Moving an animal, for example, part of the animal's body is muktzah. How are you allowed to move this bit out of the animal's teeth, off the animal's teeth, so that they could be more comfortable? Says the Ran, Akula. Yesh lomar, by the bullet point, right before number four, the end of three. Hasam shum tsar bali chaim hu sheitir kain. We just found something incredible. The Ran made 2 points. A chumra and a kula. There's the Isser of Mukta applies even to tiltul b'miktsas. Even moving something just a little bit, even if you don't move the whole item, you're just moving ahead, that's mukta. But if it's for the benefit of the animal, tzar bali chayim, that's going to be mutter. Let's stop right here and answer our shayla if we can. If you have an animal that has a rash and he needs to be scratched because he's in pain, how often does that happen? I don't know. Usually when we pet dogs, it's not because they have a rash and we need to scratch their rash. But let's say there's a dog that has a rash on his back and you know where the rash is and he knows where his rash is and you have to scratch him to get his rash. That, if you're just moving the hair, the fur, which is tiltul b'miktsas, and it's for tzar bali chayim, that would be permitted. So we're permitting this, what we just saw, and this is the first time that we see that there's, although we're saying tiltul b'miktsas is asr, is muktza, but we see it's lighter than regular muktza. Because regular muktza, we do not permit moving muktza for tzar bali chayim. But what are we permitting here? We're permitting tiltul b'miktsas for tzar bali chayim, which shows us that moving a part of something is a lower level of muktza than moving the whole thing himself, the whole thing itself. Again, tiltul for tzar bali chayim is asr. If you're tzar bali chayim, you can't lift up an animal and just move it for tzar bali chayim. However, to move, tilt part of an animal for tzar bali chayim, the Ran says that would be mutter. So we already see that the level of muktza that we're dealing with when we talk about petting an animal is less of an isser than moving an animal. Because petting it or moving part of it would be permitted tzar bali chayim. The whole animal as an entity to move it, that would still be asr even by tzar bali chayim. So what we just did is we just began to, the wedge, we began to chisel away at the isr of muktza of animals when it comes to moving part of it, like petting it. Okay. Now, one more run. Another case in Hilchas Shabbos, another Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos, that is going to add to our confusion and ultimately to our clarity in just a moment. The Mishnah says in source number 4, Shabbos Kuf Chav Ches, that if a chicken runs away, what's the problem with the chicken running away? There are two problems. Number one, your chicken is your wealth. If your chickens run away, you have less wealth, so it's going to be a hefsid. The other problem is, if the chicken runs away, then the egg is not going to get incubated, and that's also going to be a hefsid. You're not going to, your chicks won't hatch. So, therefore, Tarnagol Shabarcha Dochnosa, you're allowed to push it, Ashati Kanes. And similarly, Medadin, you could waddle, a gullant waddle, like lift up a leg. You can't lift up the whole animal and move the animal from here to there. But if the animal is too young to walk, you could grab them, push them, move them, lift up a leg. Wait a second. Why are you allowed to do that? After all, that's moving an animal, even part of an animal, should be mukta. And yet there's an explicit Mishnah that says that you're allowed to at least, you know, lift up a foot of an animal and start to walk. What?
It just recently emerged up, this concept.
I don't know. What, I'm not doing that. What do you have?
Same. Exactly this, moving a limb partially.
Okay.
So
this is the question that the Ran asks. How could the Mishnah say that you're allowed to move an animal a little bit after all it's mukta? Guess what the Ran does at the end of source number 5. He says, guess what? This case that's talking about moving an animal is actually, must be talking about a case of tzar bali chayim. Lefikach nirali dahacha, right before number 6, b'shum tzar bali chayim nagaba. If it's for tzar bali chayim, and they need it, they need to be, they're in a place, they don't realize where they're in the sun or something, and you need to lift up its leg to help him, you know, start going back into the shade, into the barn, that's when you're allowed to lift up a leg. That was the second time the Ran, same person, told us that if you have tiltul b'miktsas, for tzar bali chayim, we'll be meka, we'll let you move something for tzar bali chayim. Okay. But if we stop here, the only time that you're allowed to pet an animal is if it has a rash and it needs to be scratched, and tzar bali chayim, if you don't scratch his rash. That's not pretty common. That's not so reasonable, obviously. So let's take it. Of course, this point is Pataka Paskin. Hi, Yaakov, there's sheets right behind you if you're interested. Right. So the Kalkelas HaShabbos, which is the Tiferes Yisrael, before the Mishnah in Sefer Moed, before the Moed begins, the Tiferes Yisrael has a long arichus of summing up all of Hilchos Shabbos in the Sefer Kalkalos HaShabbos. And here, when he talks about Muktzah, he tells us, look on top of page 2, that you're not allowed to move Muktzah, typically, even for Tzar Bali Chayim. And therefore, for example, if an animal is in a pit, you can't lift it up, even though it's suffering down there, even though Tzar Bali Chayim is Doraisa, doesn't matter. However, look at the end of the third line. Afilo hachi lohi tila taltal avu ramo. You're not allowed to move muktzah for an animal, even for tzal b'chaim. Rak betiltul b'miktzas. A little bit of tiltul, this is what we're saying, if it's for tzal b'chaim, then it's going to be mutter. Fine. Now that we finished saying that you're not allowed to move muktzah, even tiltul b'miktzas is aser, I'm going to ask a question. Because if you open up a Shulchan Aruch, look at number 8. The Shulchan Aruch talks about somebody who has dirty hands. Imagine your hands are muddy, your hands are sticky, and they don't have Kleenex, they don't have paper towels. What did you have 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago to clean your hands? You had a animal nearby who has a tail. So could you wipe your hands on the tail of an animal? Done. Does that sound funny? To wipe, if your hands are dirty, like you just had like, you were just eating pancakes with syrup with your hands. And your mother says, done, please wipe your hands off. So you say, no problem, you go to the dog, and you wipe your hands on the dog's tail. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch asks this question, and says, you know what, you're allowed to do this. Mishnah Snach, Shulchan Aruch, Shin Beis, Sefer Aleph. Mishnah Snach, Lach Yodah Betit, your hands get dirty from mud. Mekancha, you could wipe it up, Bezon of Hasus, Bezon of Hapara, with a tail, stop. What's happening when you're moving a tail, Rabosai? This should be considered tiltul b'miktzas. What do we say about tiltul b'miktzas? It's considered muktzah. It's tiltul. It's muktzah. Why all of a sudden do we have this heter to move the tail on Shabbos? We said that even if the animal stays still, you move part of it, just like if a dead body is there, you can't move its legs, you can't close its eyes. That's tiltul b'miktzas. This is not Tzar Bali Chaim. This is for your hands are dirty.
Isn't it going to go back to where it was? It's different a little bit than the dead body. The dead body, you move it, that's permanent. This, you move it, sure, but the horse...
So Eli Blum is saying a chiddush lehalacha. You're saying that tiltul b'miktzas is only aser if it's going to stay in that new location, but if it goes back, that's not considered tiltul b'miktzas. Right, that's fascinating. According to you, you're allowed to do a lot. You're allowed to shake a car. If you not just shake, you not just sit on the car. You could, mamish, rock a car. That's tiltul b'muktzas. You didn't change its coordinates. It's staying right in front of 26 Lismore, right?
40
Lismore. 40 Lismore. Sorry. you could mamish shake it, tiltul b'muktzas, and it's going back to the same place. Lo shamanu davar kazeh. I mean, you're suggesting it. I like your answer. Right. So I haven't seen anyone other than you say that, but I like you. I like the svara. I haven't seen the poskim go with it though.
Because when you sit on a car, it doesn't move somewhat.
I'll tell you why I don't think you're going to be right, because the Shulchan Aruch does speak about cases where you had a lamp hanging on the back of a door. And it talks about if you open the door or not open the door. According to you, what do you care if you're opening the door? You could take it, you could swing it with your hand, you could swing the lamp with your hand, even though it's muktzah, because tiltul b'miktzas, and it's going back to its original position. Right, but why does it only talk about opening the door as causing the lamp to move? According to Eli Blum, you could take your hand, put it on the lamp, push the lamp directly with your hands, and it's... Correct. You're not allowed to move a chandelier on Shabbos that's hanging.
There are other issues with moving lamps.
Putting those aside. I'm talking just in the muktzah components. Yeah. So the poskim don't assume what you're saying. That if it's going to go back to the original position, that makes it mutter. So why are you allowed to wipe your hands on a tail? That should be tiltul b'miktzas.
Could it be that the animal can move the tail by itself?
I don't think that's a good svara, because an animal can move himself by himself, and I can't lift the animal up.
But it can move its tail without moving position, without changing its longitude and latitude.
I don't know. If it doesn't work for the whole animal, if the animal walks from here to there, it's a muktzah. If I move him from here to there, then I violated muktzah. So the fact that he could do it himself does not sound like a saving grace.
Why don't you say that over here, you're in the...
Wait, doctor, hold on, doctor. What's that? What's that?
Is a tail considered a not chashuv detached portion?
Oh, so Yanki is suggesting a new svara. Maybe tail is different than every other part of an animal.
Why?
Why?
That's
gonna. That if you could give me a good answer to that, that might help me very much when it comes to petting animals.
Because actually, some animals use their tail to remove dirt from themselves.
I use my hand to remove dirt.
But you need. Do you want to clean your hand? So you're using the tail.
There's something different. There are other halachas where you see this.
Animals use tails to please get flies over.
So who cares? Why? Well, Yanki, what's the svara that you're saying? You're saying a svara that some, maybe you're suggesting that qualitatively there's something fundamentally, essentially different between a tail and the rest of an animal's body that it moves. Why is a tail different than a hand? End or front? What's the difference between end and front? Yanka, okay, what are you saying?
I'm just thinking if you could survive without a tail.
You could survive without a tail, but you could survive without a hand too. There's something, you could say something, you could take this to the next step. Where do we see in Halacha, I think in Hilchas Chatzitza, that there are different parts of the body that are judged differently? That maybe certain parts of the body are not considered like a part of a body. Yes. Seir. A chatzitza on hair is different than a chatzitza on the body. Hair is sometimes not considered part of the body. That's what you're saying. Yankel, Rav Yaakov Salomon is suggesting that a tail is different. Why? Because maybe it's hair. And if it's hair, maybe there's a special leniency that you're not allowed to move a hand of an animal. You can't move the head of an animal. You can't move the paw of an animal. But you can move the tail of an animal. Why? Because tail is hair. Maybe hair is not considered a part of the animal. It's considered more external to the animal. If that's correct, then what cooler will we come out with, Rabbi Osai?
You could pet the entire animal.
That you could pet the entire animal. So you just came out with a tremendous Svar Lahakel. If you're right. Now we have to figure out if you're right.
The tail is like a hair. I don't understand.
What?
The tail is like a hair.
The tail is hairy. That's why people want to rub their hands on it. What?
The whole body is hairy.
The tail especially. The tail is always more hairy than the other part of the... Okay. So let's look at how the Be'er Halacha, how the Mishnah Brura deals with this question. Baruch Shekivanta, Yaakov Salman was mechamin to the Chafetz Chaim. Look at the question in the Be'er Halacha in source number 9. The Be'er Halacha is commenting, the Mishnah Berurah is commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, who says you're allowed to rub your muddy hands on the tail of an animal. Why isn't it muktzah? Kosta b'sefer tosefes Shabbos, tosefes Shabbos, tahayinu she'en mechubarim b'behema. He gives a very shver teretz. He says, we're talking about a tail that was cut off.
A detached
tail. That's the heter. Because after all, if it's attached, it should be muktzah. Yes. So how could it say that you're allowed to rub your hands on a tail? It must be the tail was cut off. Not gishmak. Lanias Daiti asked the Mishnah Berurah, no one says that. So therefore, and also he doesn't like that. So therefore, he suggests the following. Efshir, look at what I underlined at the end of source number 9. Efshir, delo asru, the iser muktzah of an animal is rak gufon debali chayim. V'lo v'sa'ara, not in their seyar, shum mechubar lahen. That's not as choshev as their body. When Chazal made a gzeira d'rabbanan of muktzah, they made it on an animal, understood. But the essential part of an animal, which is his body, but his seyar is less essential, and therefore, even though it's attached, seyar is different. Rabbi Osei, if we stop here, the Mishnah Berurah's psak in the Be'er Halacha seems to be that you can rub your hands on the tail because it's hair. Accordingly, you could pet an animal on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Except there's one more word. V'tzarchiyin. I'm not sure. As the Be'er Halacha concludes. But if we ignore the tzarchiyin, it seems like the Be'er Halacha is being mako to rub the hair, even though you can't move the animal itself. Okay. That's heter number one.
Wait,
When it says the last three words of lo chash kagufa, is that an allusion to something that's ancillary?
It means Chachamim, when they made their Issa D'Rabbanan on animals, which we know that they did, we know that there's an Issa D'Rabbanan of Mukta on animals, they only made that Issa D'Rabbanan on the essential part of the animal. And this is tertiary, this is secondary to the essential goof of the animal, and therefore maybe the Gzeir D'Rabbanan Mukta wasn't Chal on their Seir, only on their Etzem goof. Fine. That's Heter number one. Let's continue with the Shvisas HaShabbos. The Shvisas HaShabbos also deals with this question, and he has a different solution of why you should be permitted to handle, to move the tail, even though it's moving something b'miksa, so moving muksa b'miksa should equally be aser. And he says, I'm not going to read it inside, but he says a very beautiful svara, which involves two steps. Those of you who learned muksa with me might remember that there's a something called tiltil, what do we call it? We call it tiltum and hatsad. Tiltum and hatsad is you're moving mukta with another item. For example, you're sweeping up mukta with a broom and a dustpan. Or you have mukta on the tail, but you have some pistachio shells or sunflower seed shells. You take a knife and you push them with a knife onto a plate, you're not handling it with your hands. Are you allowed to do that? That's tiltum and hatsad. The answer is, you're allowed to do it only letzorech davar hamutter. Let me explain. You want a clean table, that's a davar hamutter. So then, you could take the knife and push the pistachio shells onto a plate to throw it out. However, if you want to save the pistachio shells for an arts project that you're going to do Saturday night with the kids, then the same act of taking the knife and pushing the pistachio shells onto a plate, that's tiltum and hatsad letzorech davar ha'aser, chef, for the, you want to save the shells, which are muktzah. I'll give you another example. Your quarters for parking fall off the counter and you have a bunch of quarters on the floor. Are you allowed to sweep them up on Shabbos? You're having guests, they're going to walk into the kitchen and they're going to see 65 quarters strewn all across the floor. So if you sweep it up, why are you sweeping them up? Really, because you need the quarters for parking. That would be tiltum and hatsad, that would be aser. However, if they're pennies, why do you sweep up the pennies? Not because you want to save the 28 cents. You sweep up the pennies because you want the clean floor. That's davar hamutter. So you're allowed to sweep up the pennies. That's the davar hamutter. Hold on, let's get to the punchline. Suggests the Shvisas HaShabbos of Chiddush Atzam. He says, just like when it comes to tiltum and hatsad, it depends why you're doing this indirect handling, but if you do it for davar hamutter, we'll allow tiltum and hatsad. Maybe that svara equally applies to tiltum b'miktsas. You remember we started the shiur 10 minutes, 15 minutes ago, we said tiltum b'miktsas, when you don't move the whole item, you don't change its coordinates, you just move part of it that's a little more calm. Maybe if you do it letzorech davar hamutter, why am I moving the eye of a mace? Letzorech the mace, that's going to be aser. What if you want to move, what if the corpse is, the leg of the corpse is sticking out into the path where people have to walk? Then, suggest the Shvisas HaShabbos, that would be just like tiltum and hatsad is mutter, letzorech davar hamutter, tiltum b'miktsas, moving part of something, might also be mutter, letzorech davar hamutter. So, when you have dirty hands and you want to clean your hands on the tail, that's tiltum b'miktsas, a lower level of muktzah. And what's the rationale? What's the reason? What's the motivation? What's the impetus for you to do it? Having clean his hands, that's davar hamutter. So that's the Shvisas HaShabbos. That's why you're allowed to move the tail because it's to clean your hands. Masha'enka, when you move the dead body, even though it's only tiltum b'miktsas, you're just moving, you're adjusting the limbs or closing the eyelids, that's a tzarech davar ha'aser, that's for the corpse, which is a muktzah item, and that would be aser. Stop. What would this, how would we apply this to petting an animal? When you pet an animal, who are you petting it for? To make the animal feel good or to make yourself feel good? Why is it important? Because if it's for the animal's muktzah. If it's for you, you're allowed to feel nice on Shabbos. I think, certainly when children are most, you know, oftentimes when people pet animals on Shabbos, it's for themselves. According to the Shvisas HaShabbos, one can argue that that would be, again, pressing the hair this way or that way, which is what you do when you pet. You're moving the muktzah hair. That's tiltul b'miktzas. According to the Shvisas HaShabbos, it's the tzorech d'avar hamutis, for you to enjoy the relaxing, therapeutic, soothing feeling of petting an animal. Right? When my wife got our bird, she said, Uri, it's a lot cheaper than therapy. Not for her, not for me, for the kids. The kids come home after a hard day in school. What's the first thing they do? They go straight to the bird. They hold the bird, they cuddle the bird. And then every once in a while, when the kid's really sad and takes the bird, my wife looks at me, you see? It's cheaper, right? So, that, we just found another heter of the Shvisas HaShabbos. A little bit more of a more complicated heter, that if you're doing it, because you know the bird loves getting scratched, and the dog likes being scratched behind the ears, maybe that would be aser, because that's the tzarech davar ha'aser. But if you're doing it because you enjoy petting the animal, it could be mutter, according to the svara of the Shvisas HaShabbos. Okay. Thank you. I'm just going to move just for the Zoom to be just for the battery here. Thank you. Okay. Just want to make two more points in tonight's shiur. The Kalkelas HaShabbos, source number 11, that's again Tiferes Yisrael, has an interesting point. When we had the Mishnah earlier, the Mishnah told us that you're permitted to wash and to sachen umadichen the corpse. Can I ask you a question? When you wash something, you don't just rest your hand on it lightly. When you wash or rub something, you depress it a little bit. You depress it a little bit. You don't make it depressed. You push down a little bit, right? Especially, madichin is rinse, but sachin means like you're rubbing oil onto it. When you rub oils into something, you're pushing it down. Why are you allowed to do that? Isn't that tiltul b'miktzas? Isn't tiltul b'miktzas aser? No, we're not talking about hairy areas, let's say, just on non-hairy areas. So says the Kalkelas HaShabbos, an interesting svara. He says, when you move something so minimally that you just depress something, like you imagine you're putting oil on your belly, and you just apply the oil, and yes, you're depressing your belly ever so little, that, he says, is not considered, maybe that's not considered tiltul at all. You're pushing it down so lightly, that's not called tiltul. Look what he says here. And that's top of, what is it, page 3. The Kalkelas HaShabbos says, on the third line, in the middle of the third line, Aval kasheino manio, when you're not moving it, rak manmicho ktsas al yidei shekove shalav biyado be'etzbo, if you're just depressing something, pushing something down with your hand or with your finger, that's muktzer. That's mutter. That's permitted. Because the Mishnah says that you're allowed to madichen es hameis, even though when you rub oils onto it, you're going to be pushing down a little bit, it's still mutter. So he says that we had a totally different understanding of what muktzer means. I thought muktzer means you can't move it at all. He says, if it moves ever so slightly, that's not considered tiltul muktzer. Ooh. So let's think about our doggy. There are doggies with a lot of fur, and there are dogs with very little fur. If you have a dog that has a lot of fur, and when you press down, your mom is moving stuff, you're moving the hair, that's going to be tiltul b'miktzas. That might be problematic without the other heterim that we've given. But if you have a dog that doesn't have much hair, and you're just running your hand along its skin, you're barely depressing it. It should be no different than when you rub your hand along the skin of a corpse to put on the oil, which the Mishnah said explicitly that it's mutter l'chatchila. So, says the Kalkelas HaShabbos, at least in this case, if you're barely touching it, so that you're just depressing it the most tiny bit, there's the minute amount, that should be mutter. Again, depending on the nature of the animal that you're touching, you know, this a horse. You've ever, you know, pet a horse? They don't have fur. They don't have, I'm not talking about the mane. I'm talking about the body of a horse. Yes, there's a little bit of, you know, tiny bit of barely amount. It's not even hair, but it's there's a certain...
Short
nap. Is that what it's called? K-N-A-P? Yeah. Okay, there's some texture when you touch them, but that's not considered movement. Oh, it is a tiny movement. There is some movement. There is some depression. That, says the Kalkosa Shabbos, is not considered any worse than the movement of rubbing the hands across the corpse to put oils on it. And that's mutter, the Mishnah told us. That we have is another svar lahakel, at least in a pet that doesn't have too much hair. Now, interestingly enough, this svar that we just gave, that you're not really moving something meaningfully, could be a tremendous kula in a totally different area. And none other than Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank used this Kalkalos HaShabbos, this svara that just barely moving something is not considered moving, to discuss, I don't know exactly what he's talking about, but did you ever have this following happen on Shabbos? You have the flame on your stove, on your oven. For whatever reason, the fire goes out, but your knob is on. That means there's gas coming out. That's dangerous, right? You have to open the windows, right? Because there's gas coming out, but there's no flame to eat up the... So, okay, if you ask me, I would say it's dangerous, it's a sakana, and use your elbow, turn the knob with a shinui. So, the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is talking about some kind of situation. I don't know exactly. He's not really talking about the knob of a stove. He's talking about some kind of thing that you're going to twist to prevent a drip. And he says, you're not moving it. You're turning something ever so slightly on its axis. You're not taking it from here to there. It's not even tilted the mixas. What?
A gate valve.
A gate valve.
Or a ball valve.
Okay, a gate valve or a ball valve. I don't know what those are, but you're the... this is your business. So, a gate valve or a ball valve could be some kind of valve that as you move it, there's a little bit of movement, but you didn't take something from here to there. You didn't even, it's not like you lifted a limb and moved it, you know, like I'm taking a hand and I'm moving it from here to there of the mace, the havdil. I'm not even doing that. It's just adjusting, twisting something a little bit more turned this way or that way. Says the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, then maybe that would be mutter based on this Kalkalos HaShabbos. That if you just move something ever so slightly, like for example, you sit on a car. I always thought until today, sitting on a car is moving it. At least till Tobimitzas. But he's saying if you're moving it so minimally, that might not be Aser. So if this is true, again, same as we said, if you have the type of hair of an animal that's very little, there's very little hair there, that as you rub your hand on it, you're at most depressing the skin a little bit, or depressing whatever little bit of hair a little bit in a way that's not significant or not easily noticeable, that should be mutter. So many dogs who don't have a fur, but they have a short nap, K-N-A-P, is that what, they're well-groomed, you know, they don't have long hair? This svara of the Kalkalos HaShabbos would be yet another svara, lahatir, possibly. I want to finish off with an interesting tshuva. I'm a little confused about the different aspects of it, but there is a, on page 4, this is the last point that we're going to talk about this evening, is a Shaz Chuvis Avne Yashba by Rav Yisrael Feinhandler. I think he was in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if he was on the Badat. I'm not sure who he was, but he lived recently. Maybe he's even still alive. I'm not sure. Anyone know the Avne Yashba of Yisrael Feinhandler? If you do, you could let me know about him. So he talks in the last paragraph on this page about, if you look at the Shaila was Nishalti, right? Her oneg Shabbos, my oneg Shabbos is eating babka. Your oneg Shabbos is sleeping a Shabbos afternoon. Her oneg Shabbos is petting her cats. Okay? Teach their own. And then she's learning Shulchan Aruch, and she finds out the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, she was learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and she read the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that chatulim, that cats are muktzah. And now she asks, what is she allowed to do with her cats? After all, the cat lifts up his head to be pet, right? The cat is almost asking for it. If anybody has animals, they know the cats sort of rub against your legs. to like try to get you to pet them. So jump to the last paragraph over here, where he talks about, after he speaks about the idea of moving animals and moving animals b'mikdash, then he says, what about rubbing them? What about petting them? And he wants to say a very unusual svara. He proved from somewhere else, which we're not going to go into now, that you're allowed to do tiltul b'mikdash, move an animal, minimal, you know, part of an animal, if it's the tzorech, the animal. That's what he posits. I don't know if everyone agrees to that, but that's what he posits. He says, if that's the case, when the animal is coming to you to ask to be pet, that's like you petting it, le, sort of the animal, because the animal's coming to you to be pet. And if that's the case, he says, that would be a svara to be mako, because it's considered le tzorech the animal. So, that is, he permits, based on this very interesting svara, that it's that you're allowed to move tilta b'miktzat l'tzorach the animal. I would have thought, you know what l'tzorach an animal means? L'tzorach an animal means the animal is going to get hurt, the animal's in a dangerous place, the animal is going to get lost, the animal is going to, I don't know what, and you want to move something tilta b'miktzat for the animal. He's saying, even if the animal wants to be pet, that's l'tzorach the animal. It's like the pleasure of the animal, not the not a real need of the animal. I would have made it possible to make a distinction. So Rabosai, halacha l'maisa, we saw three or four very different svaras. We saw the Mishnah Brura had, starting off with the point, the starting point tonight, well, let's review. The starting point tonight is that let's assume animals are mukts like most poskim. Keep in mind, there's a miut of the poskim who say they're not even mukts in the first place, if it's a pet. So we already have a miut of poskim, but again, we're going to try to be machmir. Then we had the Mishnah Brura, the Ber Halacha, saying that hair is different based on the Shulchan Aruch, that you could rub your hands, your muddy hands on hair. Then we had a Svara, a totally different Svara, that said that maybe if it's Litzorech Dover HaMutter, like it's for your pleasure, you enjoy it, that would be Mutter, because you enjoy it. It's relaxing to touch it. That's a Svara of the Shvisas HaShabbos. Then we had another Svara, that if you're barely depressing it, so at least by animals that don't have significant amount of fur, but just a little bit of, you know, a little scruff, that you're barely depressing anything, you have another svara lahatir in that kind of case. And finally, this interesting svara of the Avne Yashpe in Shas Shas Avne Yashpe, Volume 6, Shaila number 2, on Shaila Bey, Simon Bey's, he says this svara that it's the tzorech, it's tiltu b'mitzas, the tzorech, the animal's asking to be pet. So, since, as we started, some poskim, a few who we don't usually poskim like, say that animals aren't mukta, I think if you're mitzarif, that shita that says that we don't accept, that says that animals aren't even mukta in the first place, we'd be machmir. But even if we want to be machmir that animals are indeed mukta, there's still a number of svaros lahakel to permit petting of the hair of the animals, if we put certainly short hair, but even if not short hair, you have the other svaras. I think if we put these two points together, there would be room, certainly if a person, if it's necessary, there's much more room, as based on what we learned tonight, to pet an animal, even if we wouldn't necessarily lift up and move an animal. So halacha l'maisa, there is room. I'm not saying it's a clear heter. I'm not saying it's just, yeah, go ahead and do it. If you don't have a dog, don't go to your next door neighbor and pet their dog. If you have a dog, and certainly if the dog asks for it, and certainly if the dog doesn't have a thick hair, there's definitely room to permit petting the dog on Shabbos, according to the post that we saw. Yashkach Rabosai, thank you. I want to thank the people. One second, let's just stop the recording.